Nehemiah chapter 12, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. We'll have the scriptures that we're going to be covering up on the screen here in just a moment. I've entitled today's message, Never Say Never. And the reason I've entitled today's message, Never Say Never, because here in Nehemiah 12, the verses that we're going to be studying, they're actually dedicating these walls. The walls that the critics and the naysayers and those who oppose Nehemiah and oppose the workers and oppose this project, the very people that said it can't happen are the very people now that are having to eat crow, okay? Those that said, it'll never happen. Well, this day that we are of what we're studying in Nehemiah 12 is the dedication of these walls. Never say never. You know, in your own life, you've had people that have come alongside of you and they have told you things like, it'll never happen. Just like they told Nehemiah, you'll never finish that wall. And if you finish that wall, a fox will run up on it and that wall will come tumbling down. They laughed Nehemiah and the workers to scorn. You have had your critics in your life, right, that have told you, you'll not overcome, you'll not rebound, you won't be able to get out of this crisis, things can't turn around for you, your marriage won't last. What it's gone through, it's going to destroy your marriage. You'll never be able to recover from this divorce. You'll never be able to survive this cancer. You'll never be able to finish that degree. You'll never be able to find yourself totally free from that bondage in your life or from that addiction in your life. Yes, we have all had our own Sanballats, our own Tobias, our own Geshems in our own lives that told us the thing that God has called us to and called us to finish, that we would not be able to finish it. We all have our critics. And you know really who your worst critic in life is? Your worst critic in your life is yourself. You are your own worst critic. I read something the other day. The person in your life that has the absolute, hands-down, most influence, the person that has the most influence in your life, you would think it's God. You would think it would be a spouse or a parent or a friend or a mentor. No, the person that has the most influence in your life is you. You have the most influence in your life, and guess what? Because you are the one that talks to yourself more than anybody else. And usually what you tell yourself is, I'm not worthy, I'm no good, God does it for others, He won't do it for me, I don't have that kind of talent, I don't have that kind of skill, I don't have that kind of ability, God gave more to others than He did to me, I was born here, I should have been born there, I was born to this family, I should have been born to that family, I'm too short, I'm too tall, I'm too thin, I'm too extended. I'm not the right this, I'm not the right that, and we just go over and over and over again. We are our own worst critics. But guess what would happen if we shut off or turned down the volume of our critics, ourselves being our worst critic, and we turned up the volume of what God has to say about who we are in Christ. All of a sudden, we would be listening to what God says, and God says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You would hear God say, if I'm for you, who could be against you? You would hear God say, he that's begun a good work in you will complete it and will finish it on that final day. You would hear God say things like this, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. You would hear God say things like this, I love you and you are my special prized possession. You are the apple of my eye. I have a plan for you. My thoughts of you are not evil but of good, to give you a future and to give you a hope. You would hear things like this from God into your own heart. Thanks be unto God who always causes you to triumph in Christ Jesus. If we turned down the volume of our critic and we turned up the volume of God, it would be amazing what God could do in us and what God can do through us once we begin to believe what God says. So when the naysayers of your life say, never, 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 never say never. Say that with me. Never say never. Because when the odds are against you, then God are against those odds. And God can take nothing and make something out of it. He's in the business of taking nothings and making them into somethings. So Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27. In this section of scripture that we're going to be studying this weekend and next weekend, there are three great truths. There's a consecration, there's a celebration, and there's a contribution. There's a consecration of the walls. There's a celebration of what God has done. And at the end, nothing's changed in 2,500 years. At the end of the dedication service, they took up another offering. Amen. People that have a problem with offerings and giving, they have a problem with greed. That's all I know. So look at verse 27, Nehemiah 12. When the wall of Jerusalem, let's read this together out loud. When the wall of Jerusalem was offered as a gift to God. Stop there. When the what was offered to God as a gift? What was it? A wall. Are you kidding me? A wall? I can understand they dedicated their hearts to the Lord, or as it says in Romans 12:1, Paul the Apostle says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, dedicate your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your sensible form of worship. I could understand that, but a wall? I mean, we're talking about a wall, yes. Something so insignificant as a wall was being consecrated or dedicated, or as it says in the version of the Bible that we're reading here, offered as a gift to God. You see, a wall ceases to simply be a wall when that particular wall is offered to God as a gift. A marriage ceases to simply be a marriage when that marriage is offered and dedicated and consecrated back to God as a gift unto Him. Parenting is just parenting until parents take their children and they offer them and dedicate them and consecrate them and give them back to God as a gift. A job is just a job until that job is consecrated and dedicated and offered to God as a gift to bring glory to His name. A friendship is just a friendship until that friendship is consecrated and dedicated and offered up to God as a gift back to Him. Education is just education until that education and that degree is consecrated and dedicated and offered to God as a gift. Money is just money. Really, it's filthy lucre until that money is consecrated and dedicated and offered to God as a gift. Your talents are just talents until those talents are consecrated and dedicated and offered to God as a gift. Your skills are just skills until your skills are consecrated and dedicated and offered to God as a gift unto Him. Your abilities are simply abilities until those abilities are consecrated and dedicated and offered to God as a gift back unto Him. Life is just life. It is mundane. It is boring until that life is consecrated and dedicated and offered to God as a gift back to Him. And these beyond buildings are just buildings. And that's all they will ever be unless those buildings, say it with me, you know it by now, are consecrated and dedicated and offered to God as a gift unto Him. And so they asked the Levites to come from wherever they lived in Jerusalem to celebrate with joy. Say that with me. To celebrate with joy the gift of the wall. Are you following me? All of this for a wall! I've never been that excited over a wall. I don't know about you, right? But this is not just any everyday ordinary wall. They were celebrating with joy the gift of the wall because they realized this wall is erect and it's upright. After 141 years of lying in the dust, these stones came back together again, stone by stone and brick by brick, by the good hand of God's favor and blessing. And so they were celebrating with joy the gift of the wall. Everybody say joy. You take joy out of Christianity, all you have is religion. And who wants religion, right? You can never remove the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. You see, church services should have more, they should feel more like a wedding reception than a funeral service. I know some of you were raised in churches. I've been in churches. They were more like a funeral service. I mean, some people, they think Jesus is still dead. thank God for the churches that celebrate the fact he's alive, amen, right? On the third day, something happened, right? He's no longer dead, he's alive. Act like it, talk like it, sing like it, pray like it, preach like it, walk like it, talk like it, and run around the church sometimes if you have to like it. Not too much, we don't want to get too charismatic now, all right? Joy. You see, there are moments in life when we should celebrate with joy what God has accomplished, what God has achieved. You've been drug-free for a year, celebrate with joy. You've been alcohol-free for a year, or 5, or 10, or 15, or 20, or only 6 months on your way to 6 years, guess what? Celebrate, not in what you've achieved, but what in God is achieving in you and through you by the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. Celebrate with joy the good work that God is doing. So they called all the Levites from everywhere, okay? And we're going to be doing that. We send out invitations. Anyone that's ever been a part of Trinity, anyone that's ever been on staff at Trinity, right? We're like, come back first week in November for the celebration dedication of these new facilities. Oh, what a party we're going to have for Jesus. Amen. First week in November. Celebrate with joy, the gift of the wall. They were to celebrate with songs. Everybody say songs. Songs of thanksgiving with music, of cymbals, harps, lyres, okay? Now, for my Church of Christ friends, I'm sorry. God loves instruments, okay? And don't let those things offend you, because an instrument is just an instrument until that instrument has been consecrated and dedicated and offered to God as a gift, amen. You're going to be surprised. There will be instruments in heaven. Come on now. All my Pentecostal friends said, hallelujah. Not just going to be singing, there's going to be music. Verse 28, they also brought together singers from all around Jerusalem, from the Netophites villages, from Beth Gilgal, from the areas of Geba and Azmaveth. The singers had built villages for themselves around Jerusalem. Can you imagine the scene? Now remember, of all the people living in the Holy Land at that time, 10% had to move back into the city. We studied that, chapter 11, right? And now they were calling for all the Levites and all the singers to come for this special dedication. And so they were all coming, and they set up villages outside of the city walls of Jerusalem because they all couldn't fit inside of the city. So could you imagine the scene? Thousands and thousands of people, you know, arriving in Jerusalem in their RVs and then their Winnebagos, you know, and their backpacks and setting up pop tents. And I mean, they were just like thousands and thousands of people. And they're there for what? A wall. But not just any wall. Because a wall is just a wall. Okay, I won't go any further. You know where I'm coming from, right? They were there for this celebration of what God had achieved, because that wall represented something. It's more than just a wall. It represented God's faithfulness. It represented the people in covenant relationship with God once again. It represented renewal. It represented the city of God is open for business once again. So it goes on to say, verse 30, the priests and the Levites made themselves pure, and they also made the people, the gates, and the wall of Jerusalem pure. Now, I know how you make people pure. Just confess your sins. Make sure your heart's right with God, right? But how do you make gates pure? Or how do you make a wall pure? What, you hose it down real good and scrub it, you know? What? When you consecrate and give something to God for his use, it becomes set apart. It becomes pure for his use and for his glory. And here in our story, they were dedicating a wall. The word dedicate comes from a Latin word. It means to offer. It means to give. So they were consecrating. They were dedicating this wall to the Lord. We're going to be dedicating these buildings to the Lord. It's a spiritual moment that we will experience as a church when we officially have our dedication service the first week in November. It's going to be an incredible, powerful time. But we're talking about the dedication of walls 2,500 years ago, or the dedication of buildings. But there's more that God is speaking into our lives through this story than just the walls that were dedicated, or at this season that we find ourselves in, these buildings that are going to be dedicated. As it says in Romans 12:1, I urge you then, brothers, remembering the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Notice this next word, say it with me, dedicated. Say it again, dedicated and acceptable to God. This is the kind of worship for you as sensible people. Do you know what sensible people do in the world? Sensible people, what they do in our country. Sensible people, what they do in the culture that we live in today. Sensible people don't get on TV at a MTV Awards ceremony and do crazy, vulgar things that the world, for whatever freakish reason, can't stop talking about. Are you following me? Sensible people don't find that entertaining. Sensible people don't participate in that type of behavior. I feel like I went to sleep and I've been asleep for a long time and I woke up and my country has changed. It's like I'm living in a different planet, okay? Sensible people dedicate themselves and offer themselves to God for His service, for His glory, and for His honor. And what God wants is everything. Everything. You want to be a follower of Jesus? Then you have to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Him. It's going to cost you everything. God wants everything. If you're going to serve Christ, it's going to cost everything. You see, God dedicated to you. God consecrated, came in the form of a human being, His Son, Jesus Christ, and He dedicated everything for you. That's how much you're worth to Him, by the way, if you didn't know that. If you don't know how valuable you are, if nobody told you how valuable that you are to them, well, you're very valuable to God. He gave all that heaven could afford to redeem you, bring you back to Himself. Dedication. Dedication. I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, wow, we honor and esteem people who understand the dedication, the commitment it takes to be the best at something, don't we? You know, look, I'm looking forward to football season, and, I like watching football because you see these incredible athletes perform, and they do things you know you could never do, right? And you're like, wow. And it's not just talent that's on loan from God, because it is, but they've done something with it. It's taken hard work and dedication. So we look at these esteemed athletes in our world, and we're like, wow, what dedication. You look at the men and women who served in the armed forces. One of the highest forms of dedication is, no greater love does a man have than he lay down his life for his friend. And you think about these men and women that serve in the armed forces, and you think, dedication. It takes dedication to be in the armed force. It takes dedication to be an elite fighting force. It takes dedication. It takes dedication to build a successful ethical business that offers value to a community. It takes hard work. It takes sacrifice. It takes, say it with me, dedication. If you're going to finish your degree and you're going to then use that degree for the glory of God, it's easier to quit than it is to finish. And so if you're going to finish and you're going to finish well, it's going to take what? Say it with me, dedication. You've got to dedicate it to God, consecrate it to God, and give it to God as a gift that you want to honor Him with. If you want to have a happy marriage and a blessed marriage, not a perfect marriage, who has a perfect marriage? Please stand up. Cool. So you are married. Not yet? How long?
4 years.
4 years. Let's give them a hand. 4 years, okay? So it feels perfect, right? But is it really perfect? Come up here. I want you to give us your secrets, if it is. So we love our marriages. We want to be, you know, we're thankful for our marriages because they've been consecrated, dedicated, and offered to God as a gift. But, you know, nobody has a perfect marriage. But if you want to have a happy, successful marriage, guess what? It takes work. See, anything in life worth having takes work. It takes hard work. It takes dedication. I was thinking about that related to my marriage. Gloria and I just celebrate 24 years of marriage. And I thought, you know what? Relationships take work. All relationships take work. And the more you're in a relationship, the harder work goes into that relationship, right? Yeah, the first time, our first date didn't take much work. 2 hours and $12 is all it cost me. Okay. But I was thinking about this. 24 years later, I did the math. It's like 8,765 days, which comes out to 210,000 plus hours of work. But it's good work. It's necessary work. It's a labor of love. This Labor Day weekend, we have to look at our jobs. May not be the best job that you have always dreamed of, but you're on your way to that dream being fulfilled. But where you're at and what you presently have, you need to offer it to God as a labor of love. You need to dedicate it to God as this labor of love. When it comes to the Christian life, we know it takes dedication. It takes hard work. How many know it's a lot easier to sin than to live a clean life? You all a bunch of saints that just fell down from heaven or what? Are you with me, right? How many know it's easier to sin than live a clean life? Yeah. How many know it's easier to skip church than to attend church? Just right, you know, how many are with me, okay? How many know it's easier not to read your Bible and to play video games for 8 hours or watch TV for 8 hours? Because that's what most people do, right? How many know it's easier to give in to temptation than it is to resist it? And yet, we know what it takes to be a spiritual giant. It's not what we can do, but what Christ, we allow Christ to do in us. But you know what? It takes work. It takes dedication. And we are to dedicate our lives, our children, our marriages, our homes, our cars, our money. We're to dedicate our talents and our gifts to God. We're to dedicate our computers to the Lord. We're to dedicate our television set to the Lord. And what does that mean when we dedicate our television set to the Lord? It means that we don't watch a bunch of bad stuff on TV, like UT football. We just don't go there. I said that last night, and a young kid walked up to me in the front and went like that. I said, that's a sign of the devil, man. At first, I thought he was doing that. Like, hey, I love you. I'm like, man, I love you too, bro, right? But he went like that, and then I realized, that's the UT symbol. That's why I just stay away from that stuff. It's, not good. Dedication. That's what we're talking about. Think of all the dedicated fans out there, right? Fantasy football. Their favorite football team, right? Their favorite this and their favorite that. Boy, they're dedicated, right? They wear the apparel. They have the stickers and all of this, and they're all excited. But listen, we know what's going to happen at the end of the day. The Cowboys will miss the playoffs once again. We're going to say, hey, I'm sorry about that, all right? I'm not in denial as a Cowboy fan like the rest of you Cowboy fans out there. But I'm dedicated. I'll watch the fourth quarter, see if they're ahead. That's how dedicated I am. See, when it comes to the Lord, that's not the level of dedication he's asking for. He's asking for everything. Jesus said, how do we love God? Somebody asked him the question once, how do you love God? He said it this way, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Have you given God your all? Are you willing to give God your all? What in your life do you need to turn over and dedicate to the Lord? What is he speaking to your heart today about dedicating to him? And never underestimate what the Lord can do with whatever it is that you consecrate and dedicate and offer to God as a gift back to him. Never underestimate what he could do with the seemingly most insignificant part of your life or the seemingly most insignificant thing in your life. If you dedicate it to the Lord, never underestimate what he could do with it. Case in point. Imagine what God has done for a bunch of hairy-faced brothers who took an insignificant duck call, quack, quack, and dedicated it to the Lord. We now have the revolution known as the Duck Dynasty. Right? I can't go anywhere without seeing those guys' face. I was at Walmart looking for a car. There's their face on the car. I walk by the clothing. They're promoting clothing. I'm going to pretty soon go to the egg section of the Walmart and the milk stand. I'm going to see them on a milk carton. Duck Dynasty milk. I mean, they're just like everywhere. And you know what? That's a good thing. You know why? They are the number one top-rated all-time cable television show, and it happens to be good, clean entertainment. I'm all for that, amen? Do you watch it? No. But I like them anyway. Okay. For them, it was just a duck call. What is it for you? A writing ability, a musical ability? You're able to solve complex problems. You're able to work with your hands. What is it? Take it. Consecrate it. Dedicate it. Offer it as a gift to God.